The piano has always been my foil. It has been my huckleberry. Tombstone reference! Anyone else checking out Val, the new autobiography on Amazon Prime? But it has always been my joy and has brought me to a place of self-discovery, relationships, and creativity that has filled up my life. Hello, I met Margie through playing the piano. I love the piano so much, and yet it is my nemesis. And so today, I am going to share with you just some of what I love about the piano on Toward Creativity. And hopefully this helps you to continue to discover your why. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome to Toward Creativity, a podcast by Benjamin Harding. That's me. You can find me on Instagram at bhardingmusic and on my website, benjaminharding.net. Toward Creativity is a podcast where I explore the inspiring world of creativity. In participating in this learning journey, I hope to also serve as a guide in conversations centered around tips, tools, and strategies towards building a sustainable creative career. Sometimes you just need to get back to the basics. Am I right? As a creative, you need to get back to looking at why you began your creative journey. Even the other night, while I was driving my oldest son to an event, I said, I should just quit the piano. He consoled me in the moment, but I feel like this often. I think you might feel like this often as well. And thinking about quitting your creative work from time to time. And are you also hearing the messages in entrepreneurship? So many folks in the entrepreneurship world saying, pivot, try this, try that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I have been changing the content and presentation of this podcast. Oi! But we are back to the main reason, and that is to help you as a creative to be inspired, encouraged, and to give you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you build a sustainable career. In this particular episode, I am revisiting the core of the why. Your why is so much more important than pivoting or making a different strategy and trying to meet the moving targets of the market. Your why guides you through the storms of emotions and thinking that often crash in when the going gets tough. For me, I have never been a prodigy. I'll never, ever be a prodigy, nor have I ever or will ever be a genius. I just fell in love with the piano and the desire to share music in the global community. So maybe this episode will help you to get to your why. By the way, this episode isn't created in a vacuum. It is presented in the context of incredible pain worldwide, especially for the country and people of Afghanistan in the earthquake that just crushed the country of Haiti. We need to understand our why as individuals in our personal journey. With your why, I am assuming that it is for the benefit of others, love of neighbor. And if we focus our why for the benefit of society, we can make the world a better place. So in this context of great global pain, I quote the great American composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein. This is what he says. This will be our reply to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before. Sometimes, as creatives, we feel so helpless with the suffering in this world. But I know that if my why is figured out and I pursue that, I can benefit my own life, my family's lives, and my community, which includes the globe. We can do what we can in our own part of the world and life. And storms come. Storms come. My personal friends know that in my own personal journey in playing the piano, I have had massive calamity and storms. They come. Storms come. And we need to anchor into our why. Through therapy, I am finally able to jump into the piano afresh, like I did as a teenager. Finally, after 7 years in therapy. Okay, now to share three reasons why I love the piano. It is my hope in sharing the why of what I do that this will help you in your own creative journey. Three reasons. Let's get to it. Here's reason one. The first reason why I love the piano is that I am able to express complex thoughts and emotions through the music that I play on the piano. Yes, there are deep religious reasons as to why I do what I do, and my thoughts and emotions are deeply connected to my religious being, and so are yours. But to jump in, I remember the moment, although I don't remember the piece, when I began to express my emotions on the piano. It was at my grandmother's piano while preparing for a festival in St. John, New Brunswick. I was able to play with feeling connected directly to the dynamics on the page. By the way, dynamics in music are the louds and softs. The piano itself was first introduced to the world by an Italian inventor, Bartolomeo Cristofori, who called it the pianoforte, which is soft and strong or loud in Italian. The hammers inside the instrument would hit the strings and cause incredible affect in how loud or soft the music was played. Since Cristofori's invention, the piano has become the most popular instrument in the world and is still rising. Retail sales for the piano were up last year during the pandemic, for example. Anyway, at my grandmother's piano, I found a way to express my thoughts and emotions that words seemed so inadequate to do so. And so when I came across this beautiful quote by Hans Christian Andersen, I immediately found resonance. Here's the quote: "Where words fail, music speaks." I love that quote so much. The emotional complexity that classical piano music offers goes beyond words for me. It explores recesses in the mind and in the heart, and I am able to pull out the exuberance, the joy, and the sorrow. This continues to be a part of my why. I can express the deep thoughts, feelings that no one else knows about. For me, it becomes and is becoming a source of prayer and meditation for me. That's reason number one why I love the piano. It's because I can express the deep and hidden things in my very soul. All right, on to reason number two. Reason number two, that is relationships and community. First, I love my teachers. I love my teachers. I have learned from some of the greatest piano minds in the world today. They have challenged me and made me a better person. They have led me to discovery of incredible music, and they have led me to the precipices of my own soul. My grandmother, Carol O'Neill, Samuel Shu, Nina Svetlanova, and Bradford Gowan have guided me not only through music, but through life. Their patience and love propelled me to where I am today. They were the masters, and I was their disciple. I think about their teaching every day. I think about their guidance every day. I think about their patience with me every day. Second are the relationships that I have made through playing the piano, and that includes the students that were in those studios, the folks and fellow musicians that I've met because of playing the piano. Hello, I met Margie. Margie and I met at the Chahee Summer School of Music, and our dearest friends teach there. We bring our kids to this camp now, and we are so incredibly thankful that our children get to experience the guidance of our friends and musicians who have incredible character and great musicianship. The history of music. Composers that you are familiar with have a direct connection to the piano and the community of piano playing. Beethoven worked out his ideas on the piano, and of course, Liszt and Chopin, others, but even John Williams, you know, the composer for Star Wars and Superman and E.T. and Jurassic Park. He was his piano student. He was a piano student of the great Rosina Levine at Juilliard. The lore of piano playing is absolutely fascinating. My students, I take teaching very seriously. This is an incredible responsibility to serve the students and bring them to a deep place of learning. And yes, there is a power dynamic between a teacher and student that I really am careful with, because it can serve human flourishing or it can serve as the destruction of creativity within a person. And I choose the former. I want to serve my students so that they can flourish in their careers, just like my great teachers that I listed before, my great piano teachers that I listed before, they served me and guided me into the incredible world of piano playing. They were so patient, so gracious, so kind, and so helpful in helping me to become the pianist that I am today, and to create a foundation of learning for the rest of my life. I teach students of all different kinds of levels, and I love teaching every single level. I know some folks just want to teach beginner folks or intermediate folks or advanced folks. I love teaching every level. I've got visual learners, I've got auditory learners, I've got kinesthetic learners, and I've got advanced learners. Through the example of my own teachers, I strive to meet students where they are at. To quote one of my teacher's favorite quotes, "The goal of the teacher is to bring a student to the threshold of their own wisdom." We as teachers are to inspire curiosity and discovery in our students. You have heard it said that teachers learn just as much, if not more, in teaching. This is certainly the case in my own work. In lessons, I am often codifying in my own mind solutions to problems that I have been wrestling with for years. And these problems are solved in the context of me teaching a lesson. I love it. And so reason number two, why I love the piano, is because of the relationships that surround this incredible discipline. All right, on to reason number three. All right, reason number three is this. The piano is a path to learn about life. You know that one of my favorite people, although I've never met him. I hope that someday I will get the chance to meet him. In the world is Jocko Willink. He's one of my favorite people on the internet. And he has often said that jiu-jitsu, the Brazilian martial art of jiu-jitsu, is the path, and that it mirrors life in the struggle. In other words, for Jocko Willink, jiu-jitsu is an analog to life. It mirrors life, and he is able to look at life through the lens of jiu-jitsu. Now, I can't do jiu-jitsu. I've researched it and seeing if there's any possible way that I could do it without potentially injuring my hands. And I need my hands because it's the primary source of my income in life, and I cannot risk injury. And so just as Jocko Willink sees jiu-jitsu as a path in life, this is how I see the piano. It mirrors life in so many ways, and I can use the journey of piano to look at life. There are some things that come easy to me, but the piano is not one of them. It never has been. As I mentioned at the outset of this episode, it is my foil. It is my nemesis. It humbles me. I love and hate it. It humbles me every single day. I am still paying my dues, so to speak, to try and get to some sort of mastery of this incredible instrument and its repertoire. For mastery, it requires discipline of your entire life. And if you are not disciplined, self-disciplined, you will not begin to master the instrument. It's a lifelong path and journey. It happens to be the path that I am on. My schedule is reorganized around how much I need to practice and play the piano on a daily basis. I need to train on the instrument daily, or I will be humbled in public ways. When I am working at the piano, I am learning about the piano, but I'm learning about life as well. I am not just learning the piano. I am learning about life. And so that's reason number three. Piano is a path to learn about life. Thank you for joining me today on the Toward Creativity podcast. I hope that it has encouraged you, that this episode has encouraged you to dig deeper and to find your why, because in your why, you're going to be able to weather all kinds of storms as you begin to create a creative career around your particular discipline. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.